5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is the chop up, trying to get chopped up, not get slapped up. You already know.
What's good with y'all? This is the chop up. I am the political plug, Damo. I'm here with the lovely.
It's your girl Toya G in the mix, in the building, having a good time with y'all. It's been a long day. I can't even front. But what better way to end the day than with the chop up? So I'm happy y'all on here with me. What's good?
Facts, facts. G Lee, what's good with your boy?
Hey, stop hating and remember that education is elevation. It's your boy George Lee, aka Consciously. Don't forget the Lee. You also can find me at georgeleespeaks.com. Baby, baby.
Hey, don't get lost in the sauce. Facts over feelings. You know, all of that. You know, at Consciously, verbiage, phrases, y'all know how it go. We in here. This is the chop up. Everybody, let's give a moment of silence for Toya and her Celtics. They down 0-2.
All right.
In the Eastern Conference.
It's a series. It's a series.
It's a series. Look, the Clippers just blew, you know what I'm saying, a 3-1 lead, you feel me? So anything is possible in this bubble, you know what I'm saying? So – you know, that's just that we're just gonna get that out there first. Yeah, forget the Clippers. Let me say that. Forget the Clippers. I'm being PC just a little bit, just to not be gratuitous, but forget the all that talk, championship favorites. LA belongs to the Lakers. Yes.
They called you out from being a Kansas City nigga before. Don't make me do it again. Forget where you're from. We're from the middle. Okay. I have no reason to like the Celtics. You have no real reason to like the Lakers. But no, it's all basketball love, and for real, the best team is left standing. They play terribly, so it is what it is. To answer Noel's question, which is something y'all might be wondering, y'all didn't miss us on Monday. We didn't go live. We had to move some stuff around. We just wanted to make sure we salvaged the week somehow and pulled up on y'all. So we just moved some stuff around real quick, but you didn't miss nothing. Matter of fact, a lot of the stuff we was going to talk about Monday is still relevant today.
Some more interesting, more recent news to get into. So we're going to go ahead and get it started with the snapshot. Y'all know how we do real quickly. Interestingly enough, during this election season, we could think back 2 years ago. It was a young man, rising star in Florida. Actually, he was the mayor of Tallahassee, Andrew Gilliam. He ran for governor of Florida.
Yep.
And loss, pretty bad action. But ever since that loss, it has been really downhill, you know, for the brother. More recently, we'll speak to some controversy involving him. Drugs. Yeah,
that one.
We ain't going to talk too much. You know, I mean, we're going to get into the sordid details of it, but it involved him, drugs, another man, and not a lot of clothes on him. You know what I'm saying? Sure. And as a response to, you know, him being a political figure, when they get caught up in that type of stuff, what typically happens is they do interviews. And within the interview where he's clearing up this controversy associated with himself, another man, and drugs, he exposes to the world that he's not gay, but he's bisexual.
To be clear.
To be clear. What I mean, when y'all heard that news, because we've talked about specifically in the political chop, we've had conversations about Andrew Gilliam before. I felt like, you know, he was, he was hype. I felt like it then. You know what I'm saying? I felt like we talked a lot about how having these liberal figures, having these like really public names, it don't really mean nothing in terms of elections. So when y'all heard what happened, like what was y'all initial reaction?
All right, elaborate on your intense response, Lee. Why what the hell?
What the hell, as in, Andrew, you was riding the wave of respectability politics and a whole bunch of, you feel me, Southern charm dude thing going on. It was just kind of caught me off guard, like, oh, really? Okay. And then to me, just the fact that, you know, me being married, you feel me, what stole the headlines instead of what was the headlines is like, all right, that's interesting as well.
Well, what do you elaborate on that?
Interesting about it, nigga?
Yeah.
what was interesting about it is that in a scandal of him getting caught cheating on his wife, how we find out that he's bisexual is that he's cheating on his wife. is that that is what takes the headline, is that he is bisexual and that he is not gay, but bisexual, and kind of how that became the conversation and not nothing about, you feel me,
him cheating on his wife.
Yeah. which from my understanding, to me, like, is what made it a headline, kind of subconsciously, but not explicitly talked about.
Yeah, Toya.
I don't know. Like, when I first heard it, I was interested. I think I found out on Twitter. So when I heard it, it wasn't like independent of other people's comments already. And one of the things that like was juxtaposing like the news of it was like, oh, he's playing this card. And that's why I just kind of found it unfortunate, because people were like, oh, it's the cop out. This is how he's kind of trying to PR it up and respond to it, is by coming out as bisexual now. And it really, it was an unfortunate moment for me, just because a couple of things. One, I feel like the emphasis on the original story and that comment is just, is focused on one element of such a larger story. And that ends up happening to such, to queer people specifically, right? When they have experiences, when they go through stuff, their sexuality ends up being focused on. I'll give you another great example. Chelsea Manning, right? The story was about the, if y'all remember, Chelsea Manning had a great a lot of work in what did she expose?
I'm not familiar with Chelsea Manning's story.
Chelsea Manning is a trans woman who was a soldier who I think blew the whistle on a whole bunch of United States federal government wrongdoing, or compiling information or storing information or something like that, right?
Right.
So in exposing a lot of that information, a lot of the emphasis was on her transness and not on the work that she did and the way that she was being treated and the way that this was being litigated, when the information that she blew the whistle on was so groundbreaking and game changing in terms of what we knew. And I mean, for the sake of just knowing current events, we're more specific about that topic. But I specifically remember that being a moment where I was like, damn, this is all we're going to talk about, and not a whole lot more of the other nuances. This becomes backdrops of the story. And I think the same thing is happening here. There's a lot of moving pieces to this story, but of course we fixate on the sexual orientation of it. So a lot of interesting things. I want to show y'all how the government work. I talked about government wrongdoing, and now 000000000 is calling my phone. I don't know who this is or what.
Because you're talking about Chelsea Manning. You're talking about the enemy. Talking about the enemy.
Y'all wild.
You know, I feel that. I felt like I had a similar reaction to, shout out to Davon Love. I had a similar reaction to him, and initially it was like, why is this news? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just like, this is a part of just a salacious, media entanglements that constantly like dictate how we talk about politics. Yeah. I mean, even you kind of felt the same thing with Donald Trump and all of the sexual harassment stuff with Bill Clinton. And it always becomes about, you know, the over-sexualization. You know what I'm saying? The male promiscuity, you feel me? And then in these instances, in this instance specifically, I mean, it's about, you know, his sexual orientation. So it's, again, like, I always find myself asking myself, how is this news?
I mean,
how is this news?
One of the other things I hate about this in terms of how it's making news, though, is that it always makes news in a way, in terms, or uniquely has made news in a way for the conversation about bisexuality that plays on a very tired narrative about sexuality. There's bisexuality. There's a whole lot more room for, you know, expression of trans identities, of queer identities, if you want to be a straight up lesbian or a straight up gay. But when you talk about bisexuality, I think it feeds into the whole notion that bisexuals want their cake and eat it too. They can't make their mind up, that they are really one way or another way and are really playing games on the other side, that they are the ones spreading diseases, all these stigmas of bisexuality. And it has its own place in LGBTQ, but yet we still kind of marginalize that. And I think that when you look at bisexuality, it's been also used to further this narrative that he's just this kind of messy, confused, cheating, philandering man who can't make his mind up, when in fact it was revealed that his wife knew about it the entire time, that she knew she married a bisexual man and was okay with it, right? And so how they resolve their infidelity is just
I read that she said something like she knew about it, but kind of if she knew that it was going to be something public, then maybe she would have thought twice about marrying him. And, you know what I'm saying?
I'll say this, and then I'll ask the
her tweet or something like that. She tweeted it out or something like that.
it's like, I mean, I feel like, and that's a part of the problem with this portion, because with anybody else, this is just their business. You know what I'm saying? It's just it's family business. It's a man cheating on his wife. You know what I mean? With anybody else. But because people choose to do interviews, you know what I mean? And because he's trying to salvage something that, bro, politics in America, specifically with black people, it ain't a lot of salvaging you can do with this one, bro, because they, in terms of your image, they look for everything to tear black people down in politics anyway. You know what I mean? So the thing that you should be focused on, instead of doing interviews, explaining yourself to an America that already, a Florida specifically, that already rejected you as the leader of the state, your focus should be your family and explaining yourself to your wife. You know what I'm saying? Not to why America needs to know that you're bisexual. You know what I'm saying? But let me ask y'all this. Ultimately, do y'all think the interview and his explanation and all of that was appropriate given the circumstances?
What do you mean by appropriate?
Appropriate in terms of, you know, just like in the sense in which I said that you have a family. There's a wife involved, right? A family involved. And this is intricately tied with her life. You know what I mean? So when you do what you do, in my eyes, I think it's inappropriate, because when you do that, right, all you're doing is exploding the topic in a way that she was never complicit with anyway.
You know what I'm saying? I think that this conversation is just about to lead us perfectly into a conversation we're about to have about misogyny or misogynoir. You know, my country ass is trying to pronounce that. So, you know, don't slander me too much. but I think that the way that how this debacle has impacted this black woman and her marriage and it being marginalized and what has come to the forefront, I think that it's kind of one of those, I guess, kind of more subtle manifestations of misogynoir, where we kind of think about the pain and suffering of black women kind of secondary, third, fourth, fifth, and we think about the more sensational things first. And then maybe we'll get to how black women are impacted by, you feel me, our laughs, giggles, and, you know what I'm saying, philosophical questions.
I don't want to undermine that point at all, right? Because misogynoir is a very important component of this story, how she's been treated, how she's been lambasted and accosted as this information has come out. You've been seeing it, right? People have been challenging her and criticizing her. Why would you stay around? Would you stick around? You less than, you not really a real woman if you are willing to be married with somebody who does these types of things. And so there's a particular targeting there. What I will temper some of this, and I want to before we transition to the other conversation, with is the understanding that this has been PR'd out, that this woman is not completely without consent and without some suggesting and consulting with people about how this is supposed to play out. So there is some type of strategic end game. Gilliam is not just popping up saying what he's saying, and she's sitting alongside her husband, right? So there's something in her mind, there's something in her heart that aligns itself to say, this is somebody I'm married to. It's also important to note that in terms of the drugs, I think it came out that he said, I didn't do drugs. Like, it was liquor and drugs in the room. And people get going in different types of ways. When you set up the setup, we all always got to be out the same thing to make it do the thing thing when we get to doing the thing, how it get done. So,
okay.
Everybody don't keep going the same way. So he's been able to kind of circumvent some of that drug usage by saying, that wasn't mine. That belonged to that man. You talked to that man about that. And in terms of this woman and his and her husband, she's like, I know the man I married. You know what I'm saying? I understand this. We go through issues just like everybody else. It sucks. It has to play out in the open. But I just don't want to leave it seeming like she is completely unwillingly.
Yeah, she knows something.
Right, well, PR'd it up, and she was a part of those strategic meetings. She's a part of how this thing is unfolding, and she's clearly okay and has peace of mind and is sleeping at night with what's happening with her and her husband and her marriage, and that has to be okay too.
Hey, I mean, if it's okay with her, sure. But I mean, I think his political career, though, yeah, I don't think it's about this one. We appreciate you. We appreciate what you did when you did it, but we're gonna keep it pushing. So that's
a slap. Andrew.
Go ahead, Toya.
Well, I was just gonna say, Rita got a comment, and she's been the one really kind of vibrant on this issue. So I do want to look at this. Rita says, but I'm wondering, why is he talking about it now? He was in that motel with another man for several months ago. His wife definitely knew by the time he did that interview. And this is what I mean when I say it got to be some strategy behind it, because this was old news. It's dead. Your career has already been broken. Spend time working on your family. Fix yourself. Find yourself. Do the things that make you happy. But this is not really viable. So why now? Why, as a unit, have they come out? And like, you do have to wonder, but it's all, I mean, I got a degree in it. It's all PR. It's spin on this thing. Trust me.
Communication.
You just don't really know the end game.